Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, my name is Graham Ripple. I live in Denver, Colorado. I am an entrepreneur and currently the president of Link by Lou.
Awesome. So can you tell me more about your company and exactly how you got the idea for it and what you do?
Absolutely. Yeah. Link by Lou is a permanent jewelry company. So permanent jewelry is a new trend in jewelry where the jewelry chains are actually welded on you rather than having a clasp. So like the chains that I have on, they're on all the time, right? I don't ever take them off. I work out in them, I hike in them, I box in them, I sleep in them. And so I did not come up with the concept. Our company, it was founded by Jordan Lewis, and she saw permanent jewelry happening in boutiques and like big markets. So it was in New York, it was in I think LA. She saw it, she loved the concept of it, really wanted it herself. Initially her idea was actually to have her sister do it, who was in college at the time, who's now one of the principals of the company. But Jordan saw it being done, wanted it actually over the COVID lockdown. She figured out a way to use a new type of jewelry welder to do it. So it was traditionally being done in the back office of jewelry shops with like really big welders. She figured out a new welder to use to make it remote. And then right as she launched it, right after COVID kind of lockdowns lifted. And so she started doing these like events here in Denver, and it got super popular. So then her sister came on board, started doing it in Kansas City. And so they launched in May of 2020. I came on kind of as an advisor in July and August of that year. And then I came on full time in April of the following year. So I came on in April of 21. And so we now have, my understanding is that we're the largest provider of permanent jewelry in the company or in the country. And so we have over 90 sales reps in about 65 markets. And so all of them are independent contractors. So we talk about how our job is to enable them to do their business.
So essentially you have these reps all across the country, and these reps are hosting events and then doing like the permanent jewelry at these events. And they use your platform, you could say, as like a back end to, you know, do like the permanent jewelry.
That's right. Yeah. So they work underneath our brand. Jordan and her team are they're just so talented in terms of building out the brand, in terms of building out collections, new products, you know, that we're coming out with. And so the sales reps are underneath our brand, and then operationally they're underneath, you know, both the inventory management, the point of sale system, you know, how we book parties, all of that is managed by the HQ team. A mentor gave me this quote once that I use regularly with our team, which is, give me the creative freedom of a well-formed strategy. That's the way we talk about it. It's like, hey, we have built a big sandbox, and you guys get to build whatever sandcastle you guys want within that sandbox. And so our job is just to really provide the support that kind of a sandbox does, and then giving them that freedom to build out what they want.
For sure. But I guess like for a sales rep to be successful working in a business, do they typically have like a following, or are they like a boutique owner? Like, what does that look like?
No, absolutely. It's figuring out the entire interview process is fascinating. We last time I checked, we were getting 5 to 10 applicants a day to join the company. And then of course we're limited in terms of how much we can, how many people we can train. Right. And so it's a great problem to have, of course, but it also requires a lot of man hours. And one of the things that team is doing is really kind of evaluating on kind of a first pass of, do we like the way that they're showing up in, like, you know, on Instagram, on TikTok, number one, does their background seem aligned to us? Do their goals seem aligned to us? And are they in a market that we want to grow? And then from there, it really is a relational process of us getting, we have a 3-round interview process so that multiple team members can get to know these potential sales reps, because there's a cost to join the company, just like there is to launch any business, But Link by Lou HQ is doing our own equal investment in that person, right? Like, so we've lowered the barrier of entry financially. So we're taking a risk, and we want to be really mindful that we're bringing on those right people.
For sure. So in terms of sales reps, is it like one per city, or do some cities like New York have multiple? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's a great question. We normally don't put more than 3 sales reps in a market. A lot of our markets are, it really kind of depends on size, as well as there's a little bit of subjectivity in terms of like just kind of the nature, you know, the nature of that city, kind of the vibe of the city. But typically it's 1 to 3. And then we don't go above that. I would say on average, it is either 1 or 2. You know, it's only a couple markets that really will have 3. Because one of the things we don't want to do is, like, we don't want to unintentionally decrease down the potential of a rep, right? And by adding too many, we call our sales reps linkers, you know, after Link by Lou. So we don't want to reduce down their potential by adding too many linkers to that market.
Sure. But I guess like if somebody's like in New York, right, would you have like 1 rep in Brooklyn, like 1 like in Manhattan? Like, what does that breakdown look like? So like if somebody wants to book a party, who are they in contact with? I'm just curious. Yep.
Yeah, no, you are like diving right into the complexity, of course, of like how you manage this. You know, it's funny, you know, all of our reps are their own business. They're all 1099 contractors. So we talk about how everyone is an individual, but a team player. And so what we really try to do is have the markets work as a unit to the degree that they can. And so there is a degree of geography that comes into play. But from a booking standpoint, we do either private parties or we do pop-ups. And so pop-ups are generated by the linkers, where they're reaching out with partner businesses. So they're able to dictate the geography of what makes sense for them. Private parties, we book everything through a centralized, you know, calendar system. And so that is more dependent on the customer's desired time to have us. And so therefore our linkers sometimes are driving to like a non-ideal geographic place based on what works best with the customer.
Right. So they're more so like setting hours of like when they're available, and like their calendar availability will pair them up. Say, okay, like this is like on 2 p.m. in Brooklyn, you're going to be here. And yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And so, but it definitely adds some complexity to it. And so our goal is to make it as easy as possible for our customers, right? For their booking and stuff like that. And so that's kind of how we bias it. And then we're constantly coaching the linkers in terms of making sure it's fair, making sure that they're keeping in mind geography and things like that.
For sure. So in terms of like booking, for example, how much notice do you have to give? Like, you know, is it like 24 hours, 1 week, like how far, like in advance, like at a minimum, can somebody book?
7 days is the minimum. Okay. And so we basically have a rolling calendar. It's a booking window from 7 days to 60 days. Okay. And so we do that. And so the 7-day buffer is really so that so that our linkers can plan their lives, and that they don't get something that's dropped on the calendar, you know, a couple of days. And then they're, you know, like we have some linkers are in college. We have some that are married with kids, right? But they have, a lot of them have their own lives, you know, happening. And so we want to be respectful of them. So we have a little bit of a buffer that's there.
That's awesome. So in terms of like the current, you know, state, like, you know, for 2024, obviously now like we're wrapping up Q3. So what are some of your big objectives for this year? I mean, Q1, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're good. I was like, Q3, man.
Yeah, Q1.
It's flying. It's flying. Yeah, no, you're good. What are some of the big objectives? You know, when we first launched, right, when Jordan had this vision and saw the opportunity, I mean, in a lot of regards, we have had the fun opportunity of being one of the market leaders in permanent jewelry, right? And so there are other, you know, we give so much shout outs to Catbird out in New York, who was one of the OG jewelry stores doing it. There's a couple other people that either now have multiple locations across the country, or, you know, are kind of doing the mobile with multiple cities like we are. But it's so fun to be able to, we were on the forefront of that wave. We really helped propel it forward. And so now, I mean, as the market has matured, where you went from like early adopters to like the first majority, you know, our business model is having to shift as well. And so we're ever, you know, like for 2024, it's refining our processes, how we care for our linkers, It's being really strategic about where we grow. And then it's also innovating, you know, like how can we, with the footprint that we have, with the cities that we're at, what are new products that we can bring on? You know, what are new things that we can do that really would stand us out of the crowd? Because permanent jewelry has become a very popular, you know, service. And there's lots of like solo entrepreneurs that are now doing it. And so we're really then trying to figure out how do we use our scale, our brand, our like kind of our experience to then further innovate in a very fast moving, you know, fashion market.
For sure. So obviously that you mentioned that you started like in Denver, right? So that you're based in Denver and then you said Kansas City also, right? So are you more focused on, you know, I guess middle of the country? Like where are you big right now and where do you want to grow, you know, this year or next year?
In the future. Yeah. You know, so we, you know, like launching a company like this, of course, began to be, it was relationships, right? Like it was all relationship driven. And so, Jordan and Sam, the two other principals with me, are from Kansas City. I knew them from Kansas City as well. So, so it was, you know, launched in Denver. And then really quick, Kansas City made sense because of that natural connection. Then we had connections in Dallas. So Dallas made sense. So it really grew, organically through relationships. And a lot of it was centered in the Midwest, right? And so we are now we're coast to coast, you know, Miami, LA, San Francisco. We've got a really good footprint, but I think now it's kind of that the strategy of saying like, what are the major markets that we're missing? You know, like, so like we have a linker in New York right now. She's really part-time. So we would love to bring another one in New York. I mean, top of my mind, I'm like, oh man, Philly is a great market that we haven't tapped yet, right? Like, so there's so many of these markets that we didn't tap, but for us, we're all about, we really kind of marry business strategy with kind of the gut intuition and the vibe. Like we are a very creative company. So we're kind of a both and. So it's not just about a market size for us. It's also about does the city feel like it'll resonate with us? And more importantly, are we finding the right potential linker that will tackle that city, right? Because we need someone that will fit in that basically they are embodying our culture in that place. And so we want to make sure they'd be someone who could actually take on our culture and carry it there in that place.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that makes total sense. So in terms of like, you know, growing this business, has it been so far through like cold outbound, like calling other businesses to have these events or running ads or cold email? Like what does that look like for you to this point?
Totally. I've been an entrepreneur for 15 years in a variety of different spaces. And so this is the first company I've been a part of that really has grown virally, which I feel like is such this buzzword and happens so rarely, you know, that it's truly viral growth. And what I mean by viral growth is we are really looking for the sales reps to embody it. They embody it at both at private parties and at pop-ups, but then they also are embodying it like on social media. Right. And so, you know, so much of what we have spent no money on advertising, actually, like wow. As wild as that is, no money on advertising, you know, but so it's the sales reps who are giving our customers an amazing experience that then are causing the customers to then tell other people about it. And that really has been, I mean, it really has been this trust of the sales reps going, taking the experience, you know? And so we really talk about Link by Lou and we don't call Link by Lou a permanent jewelry company. We describe it as an experienced jewelry company because we believe the thing that sets us apart is not just a welding technique of chains, although that's of course central to our product offering, but also the experience that someone gets and the way that our linkers will walk our customers kind of through that process.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you said that you have not spent like any money on ads, but in terms of like, obviously the, you know, like when you got started, was it just calling companies that you knew based on like your connections from your previous entrepreneurship, you know, journey, or like, what did that look like, you know, just even getting started?
Totally. You know, it's funny, I did not do this personally, right? Like I really have come in from like a business strategy standpoint, but it's funny. I'll talk with some of the early sales reps and like specifically like Samantha. So Jordan and Samantha Lewis, Jordan founded it. Samantha is her sister. And so Samantha was our first city beyond Denver. She was the first experiment of could this scale into another market? And she talks about, you know, like, this was summer of 2020. Permanent jewelry was not well known. And so she was going to boutiques and stuff like that there in Kansas City and being like, hey, I'd love to host a pop-up here. I think it'd be really popular. And people just flat out were like, no. I mean, no, 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 no. And so she, you know, like, and so then over time, fast forward 3 months later, and those same boutiques were then reaching out to us saying, we'd love to host you, right? Like, so it really was this amazing kind of like getting the early adapters on board with it to hitting then a critical mass so that, you know, and a lot of that, I mean, all of the credit goes to Jordan, it goes to Sam, it goes to the early linkers who really paved the way almost, I would say, for the rest of the company by giving an amazing experience, but also continue just to knock on doors. You know, and like continuing to like hype it on social media, continue to partner with great pop-ups, you know, like they put in a ton of legwork that built in the momentum that we now get to experience.
That's awesome. So what would you say is like the biggest challenge that you currently face in the business?
Oh, great question. I think it depends on the business area, right? Like, so I think that the biggest challenge probably, I think it does depend on business area. The biggest overall challenge is just acknowledging how the market has changed. You know, like I just described in the beginning, permanent jewelry, they like people didn't know what it was. They were confused by it. I mean, the number of people even that they're like, are you welding this on my body? Like people like literally thought they were going to be punctured by it. Like, I mean, it was wild where people's imagination went. So it went from that to then, you know, like to then being able to grow, you know, like my understanding, again, the biggest provider of permanent jewelry in the country, which has a ton of operational complexities and, you know, and personnel complexities and stuff like that. But now really being in a situation where I'd say we're now in the early majority, I think, of customers. But with the early majority, we just have a ton of one-off competitors. And so there are a lot of people who are able to enter this market. It's a low barrier of entry. They are able to pivot a lot quicker than they can because they're just one person. And then with that is also explaining kind of the differentiators between ourselves and them. You know, so a lot of our competitors, like we pride ourselves that we offer 14 karat gold jewelry because of how sustainable it is, because of how long lasting it is. A lot of our competitors are doing gold filled or gold plated jewelry. And so over time, that's the gold plating or the gold filled is gonna wear off. It'll begin to tarnish. It's not as strong, but our customers don't always know the difference between the two. And so customers will look at the price point and they'll say, oh my gosh, Link by Lou is twice as expensive as this other customer. Or as this other provider, but don't understand the difference behind it. You know, so for us, it's ever adapting to this growing market, the growing change of the market, continuing to move the brand forward, and then also continue to really educate our customers as to why they might consider us versus another provider that's there.
For sure. So obviously now in 2024 that many companies are using AI in their business. So does Link by Lou use AI, or if not, like where do you think may AI could add value to the business?
You know, it's funny. I have had kind of on my to-do list a like wanting to dive in just even personally to the AI conversation. We aren't currently using AI. We aren't currently using AI. I think that there's a ton of opportunities for us to, but I think that we have been, I mean, we went from Jordan in May of 2020 to over 115 people, including like HQ members in the course of basically like a little under 4 years. We've done that all bootstrapped without external funding, so most of our efforts have been on just like maintain, like riding that wave, maintaining systems and stuff. But me personally, I want to geek out a little bit more into AI. And then from there, have conversations with like our brilliant team to be like, okay, guys, how could we do this from a customer service standpoint, from helping customers with bookings? I think there's a ton of applications. I just haven't dipped in enough to it, honestly.
Fair enough. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started your entrepreneurship journey?
I think the biggest regret that I have in entrepreneurship is that I wish I started earlier. So I started as an entrepreneur when I was about 27. At the time, we now live in this amazing entrepreneurship cult like culture, but yeah, I'm 40 now, so I've been doing it, you know, I've been doing it for 13, 14 years. At the time, I was in Kansas City. At the time, we didn't have the full support systems. Those things were like that. The entrepreneurial ecosystem is not what it was today, you know, like especially in Kansas City. And so I look back and I'm like, why was I not in college just like messing around with things? Like, why was I not failing fast, right? Every business I've done has gotten more complex, has gotten bigger, it's always been a leveling up, which is really fun. It's always been had a multiplier effect where I'm like, I'm able to do what I do now because of the other businesses that I've done. And so I just am like, why did I not get going quicker? Even if I failed, or even if it was rudimentary, even if it was small, like that. So that to me is my biggest, that would be my biggest, I think, like regret on my end. And then the other one I think would just be get around like-minded people, whether if they're peers, that's a win. But if they've been down the road even that much further, like just be around them. Like the number of times I was in a critical spot in one of my businesses. And I remember sitting down with, it's my best friend's father-in-law, who is who's a serial entrepreneur. And I sat down with him and I'm like, man, I'm embarrassed even with where I'm at. I'm embarrassed to bring you this stuff. And he stopped me and he said, his name's Chip. And he said, you know, Graham, whatever you've done, I've made the same mistake. Like there's no embarrassment. And so the idea of being around someone who had 30 years on me of experience and who was able to he was able to both give me really timely advice, but he was able to just be like, I've been there, right? Like the fraternity of entrepreneurships is tight, you know, it's growing, but like to be around other people who have been there and who've done it, who've taken the same risks is invaluable. And it just will accelerate your journey.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's great advice. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for Link by Lou?
Oh, great question. What do I see? I think that I think there's two answers to that. One is external, two is internal. Externally, we are working on some really innovative products that I personally love. And like personally, I wear it myself. And I'm excited about releasing it to the customer. It's another, I mean, again, it was another idea that Jordan had, she saw in the market, and then we've been working with some amazing partners to innovate on it. And so we are really excited for that launch. We are hopeful that it will be within the next 60, 90 days. We'll see. All these things take time. But so one externally is a brand new product, even category that we're pumped about. And then internally, I think that it won't probably be public facing, but there's just a lot of, we've grown quick. And so there's a lot of processes that are in place that are kind of clunky and need to be revised. There's technology that we're working on. You know, there's getting the right people in the right seats so that we can manage things. And so I think all of that will allow our linkers to do their job that much better. I think a customer will potentially be able to ascertain that. But a lot of it is kind of like, you know, kind of like the things that are going on within the family that we just want to get our house in order just to build a really strong foundation.
Makes total sense. And we're rooting for you guys. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Both of them are Link, LINK, and then XLOU. So it's Link by Lou. So it'll be linkxlou.com. Our primary Instagram account is just at LinkXLou. And then all of our markets have their own Instagram accounts as well. So we have a national brand that we're managing. And then we also have, like, if you want to go to a particular pop-up, you would go over to, you know, like, it'd be like linkxlou.den for Denver. Right. And so, so you might have to, but all of that is on our website. You can go there. You can click on locations. It'll bring you to every city has their own page on the website. Of course, you can book that way. So yeah. So Instagram is the beautiful, this is what we're doing. These are our products. And then the website is like really booking and, you know, getting in touch with us.
Awesome. Well, Graham, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye, Dan.